And now, still trying to make sense of it all, Danny Klinkscale.
Yeah, I had 3 hours of practice yesterday for this enterprise after the game, so I think I'm ready and loaded for bear. I don't know, you probably said about or heard about everything you can about this disaster in New York from the Kansas City Star headline, The Big Crapple, which is quite good. To the Chiefs' want to try and set back trick plays a century or so. It was all fun and games last year. We've had Hungry Pig Wright, or is it Angry Pig? Which one was it?
It was Hungry Pig.
Hungry Pig Wright. We had the Hail Mary. Yesterday we trotted out the Travesty.
The Hill interception earlier this year was Hill no.
Yes, there we go. I don't know what to say. You got 2 weeks to stew over your worst performance of the year, and then you trot that thing out in New York against a team that didn't even play well. Right? We saw the Giants earlier this year go to Denver, and if anybody watched that game on Sunday Night Football, thought the Giants looked like a pretty good football team that night. Ran the ball effectively, did quite a few good things. Yesterday, they made mistakes, they committed personal fouls, they threw a disastrous trick play interception deep in your own territory when they were trying to... I mean, who didn't think when the Giants drove down there and, you know, feeling pretty good about their early effort, and they're carving the Chiefs up, and then they throw a dumb halfback pass interception, who didn't think, well, there the air's going to go out of their balloon right there, and the Chiefs will roll from here... Who didn't think in the fourth quarter when the Giants got possession of the ball early in the fourth quarter in a tie game and went three and out? Oh, certainly now the Chiefs will turn on the gas. No, three and out. Who didn't think when the Chiefs got the ball first in overtime that they could at least trundle down the field with the wind and kick the field goal to do the trick? Or maybe they were against the wind. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Six plays later, they've run 5 minutes off the clock, and the chances of winning are just about gone at that time. I mean, maybe you're sitting there. You're sitting there watching TV thinking, oh, my God, maybe we can get a tie. Maybe we can tie the vaunted Giants. Just awful. And the thing that's the saving grace here that is somewhat reminiscent of the 2017 baseball season is that all along, what were we thinking? When the Royals weren't playing very good baseball, my God, the wild card might be five games over 500, and ended up being only 8 games over .500, but the team wasn't good enough to take advantage. Well, the Chiefs are, unless they just do something unbelievably horrific, they're going to be in the playoffs. But it's just going to feel like, you know, maybe this time there's zero expectations and they'll do something. Because they can't do anything the rest of the season to make us feel better about their prospects for the postseason. They can't. They don't have anybody to beat that's going to mean a damn thing. And anybody who's worth a salt, they're playing on their home field, to include the Chargers, who look pretty feisty right now, for instance. But all the teams that are even half decent, you're playing on your home field. So if the Chiefs even go out now, still, when we thought, oh, well, they probably have a good prospect that they can run the table, and then they lose to the Giants, still a good prospect in my mind, they can run the table. But what is it going to prove? 5 games as lackluster as the first 5 were good. Who are they? Well, I think you have to lean on recent history, because that's what we've just seen. The Chiefs have lost 4 of 5. They've lost to 2 teams that are badly losing football teams. Have the Raiders won since? They won 1 game. They won against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Since they beat them. And the Giants, just a god-awful team. 17 players on injured reserve, gone for the season. 17!
And opened the game with their best remaining wide receiver and their number one corner inactive.
Inactive. So you're talking about upwards of 20 players they'd like to have on the field, or at least playing special teams, unavailable. And the Chiefs don't score a touchdown. Unbelievable. I mean, just unbelievable. If somebody told you that before the game that the Chiefs were going to allow 9 points in regulation, you would have thought they would win by 3 touchdowns. I don't know what to say, to be honest. I have to say something. It says monologue right here. That means you talk. It's hard to assess. They look like a bad version of the teams that we've kind of been critical of the last few years. Okay, they're all right, but the offense is dink and dunk and little trickeration. And who runs that play out there in the fourth quarter of a game? You know, when they were starting the design of the play, I'm like, something's up here. They're motioning people all over the field. They're setting up something here. I thought so, because there was like, they set it 3 guys to the right, and then they motioned 3 guys over to the left. All this cake decoration. I'm like, something's up here. And it was up all right. And then what you know is that if you hand a football player a trick play, he's going to throw the football. What have we seen the last couple weeks? 3 examples, 3 football players, ball in hand, bad situation, and they all threw it. And it was all intercepted. One opponent and your player. Just abysmal. Even the defense, okay, it was better. But the Giants still ran for 130 yards in the game yesterday.
And when they had to drive in the final drive, you couldn't stop them.
They would have scored a touchdown in a real football game. They just kicked the field goal because the field goal wins the game. They're on the 2. We're going to get stopped there. In fact, they probably should have run it a couple times, to be honest, and made a mistake in my mind, but it didn't hurt them. But now, you know, I mean, there's really no tangible damage as far as the standings are concerned. It's just your assessment of where the team's at. That's what we were saying beforehand, before these 7 games. We're going to have to judge this. Sure, they're going to win them, or they're going to win almost all of them. I think we're almost certain that this was going to be a win. But we'll judge them on a, you know, based on what this might mean for the postseason. Then you lose? My goodness. All the optimism, which was rightful, absolutely rightful, now looks like just a phony hot streak. The Chiefs look every bit the same Chiefs that we've seen the last few years. Alex Smith looks every bit the same Alex Smith we've seen the last few years. Okay, he's fine. You know, I don't know what was up yesterday. I think it was cover fire for him after the game because it was windy. I mean, you could see that the wind was affecting, especially going that one direction. And he threw the ball halfway to a wide receiver 3 times and afterwards said the wind didn't bother him. Ooh. Well,
it's even worse.
I mean, that is literally even worse. A 20-yard throw to somebody who's open and you throw it halfway. And then you say the wind wasn't a problem? I think he just didn't want to say the wind wasn't a problem because he didn't want to basically be saying, you know, I don't really have the arm strength to throw in this kind of wind. I mean, which is basically what he would have said if he admitted that the wind was a problem. And I guess just I'll ladle on a little bit more while I'm having a little
monologue. It is Thanksgiving. Throw some more gravy on there.
Yeah, I'm going to throw some sour gravy
on that turkey of a game.
Yeah. The Chiefs are very fortunate. I noted this yesterday, and Jack, Harry, and I got into it. And I'd actually like some people to maybe take Jack's side on this. Because I the facts are the facts. The Chiefs are incredibly fortunate that even a person like Ian Eagle, who is born, bred, professionally raised in New York City, the kingdom of the East Coast bias, referred to this matchup yesterday at one point as a game between 2 storied franchises. I think this is a good time to say, what the hell makes the Chiefs a storied franchise? Unless you're going to say that every franchise in the National Football League is storied. The Chiefs have 8 postseason wins. They haven't been to a conference title game in, what, 26 years?
24 years.
24 years.
1993.
They've won 2 playoff games on their home field in their entire history. What makes them storied? I think it's you people. You people make it storied, sitting there, who fill up Arrowhead, who cook meat in the parking lot because people love to come to Kansas City and smell the barbecue and then go on their broadcast and say what a great atmosphere it is and blah, 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 blah. That's what makes it storied. The team on the field sure as hell doesn't. And I think yesterday was a good time to bring that point up because, I mean, Lamar Hunt being one of the creators of the league is really the only thing that creates any kind of storyline for this franchise. I mean, if they were to rename the conference championship trophy right now, no chance it'd be the Lamar Hunt trophy. It'd be the Art Rooney trophy, or it'd be the Robert Kraft trophy, or something. It'd be somebody different. Who was the old owner of the Browns? Art Modell. Hell, the Browns are maybe the only team you can say is less storied. But they had Jim Brown, and they won titles back in the day. What, they won 6 championships in 10 years or something. Now, well, only one was in the National Football League, I think. But
yeah, 7 and 10.
You can even make the argument that the Browns, the Cleveland Browns, are a more storied franchise than the Chiefs. That's just an aside, I guess, an aside that comes up on a very disappointing day of football.
The only way that be storied is if bad stories count, too. I mean, every bookstore has, a murder mystery section. And if you want to talk about historical ways to not be successful, there are a bunch of those that came out of this team.
Well, at least this horrible streak of football by a team that once looked like the toast of the league coincides with a narrative that really can only be written sometimes in the National Football League, that a division that was basically unanimously before the season deemed the toughest in all of football is probably the worst, especially with the way the Chiefs are trending now. I mean, the Raiders, who are supposed to be the, you know, new crown prince of the division, really stink. I mean, they stink. They get bombed. They don't just lose. They look bad. I mean, Derek Carr looks like a good quarterback, and then he goes out and plays awful, like he did yesterday. Worse yet, the bad news is that the two elite franchises that you're supposed to measure yourself against, and early in the season, perhaps you sort of looked like maybe you could play the part. You went out and beat one of them on their field. Well, they don't seem to have found their footing. They found their footing. And when those teams find their footing, they don't lose their footing. They don't go halfway up Mount Everest and then call off the dogs. They go all the way to the peak, okay? And they lose to each other. That's all they do. I think you can make a case that the only game either Pittsburgh or New England are going to lose the rest of the season is to each other. They play in the regular season, and then they'll probably play in the postseason. My goodness. Well, I don't have anything left to say, so I'm going to take a couple phone calls. You got anything? Anything on your mind there, buddy?
I just thought that yesterday was one of those weird games where I couldn't tell who they were from this standpoint. I spent half the game thinking they're playing with a sense of urgency or a lack of urgency that would suggest a team that just thought, eventually we're going to beat these guys and we won't have to really do anything. And they spent the other half of the game coming up with these plays that would make you suggest, that would suggest that they thought, we've got no shot if we don't do this. It was one of the more bizarre dichotomies.
That's an excellent point.
What in the hell are they doing? Who do they think they are in this game? It was just,
I can't recall a game
that was more split in half on those two fronts than the one I saw yesterday.
Right. Are you the far superior team, or are you a team that's so desperate that you have to try a bunch of stupid stuff?
I've never seen a team wear both of those coats like they did yesterday. It was just a bizarre game to watch.
No question about it. Let's take a couple calls before the first break. Line them up, 913-3810-810. Any of my comments are up for grabs. Anybody wants to try to carve out a scenario of the storied Kansas City Chiefs, I'd love to hear that, too. Let's start off with another ray of sunshine, Gary in Illinois. How's it going, Gary?
Danny, I couldn't agree with you more, but the reason the Lamar Hunt Trophy is named after him is because that's the only way they knew the Chiefs would ever be associated with it again. But looking at
yesterday's
game, I wish somebody would just jump Andy in this press and say, Andy, you say the same thing after games. After 19 years, if you haven't fixed it by now, you're never going to fix it. But watching Philadelphia last night, a team that's supposed to be a mirror image of us, the biggest difference is the talent on the field. They have weapons. We have really one elite offensive weapon in Travis Kelce. We don't have playmakers. You know, Tyreek Hill, bust his heart, bust his butt, but, you know, he's an elite returner. He can disappear a lot of times, and Pittsburgh took him away, and I think if we saw New England again, they'd take him away. But if you look at Pittsburgh and New England, they started slow, but they have the talent and the coaching to get him through something like that. This team doesn't have that, guys. And the difference between us, the Patriots, and the Steelers is those two teams are built to win Super Bowls. We're built to just get into the playoffs. That is the biggest difference. And until the talent level rises on this team and the Chiefs decide they actually need elite talent on the outside, guys that can make plays at wide receiver, not chess pieces, which is what we have with Robinson, Conley, and Wilson when he's healthy. But those guys are just complimentary players. We don't have that guy we can go to on third down that can make a play at wide receiver, guys. But that's the biggest difference. But I'll hang up on this. And great show, guys, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks a lot. I think that he's accurate that as this season has gone along, the Chiefs have looked like they are not talented enough to hang with the very best teams. They did look like that when they were humming along at the start. Unfortunately, this is the year they've decided that their defense is going to be not very good. And I think it's easy to see why. Because what we thought was they had elite player at the very least on each level of the defense. Justin Houston for the front, although he's, you know, technically listed as a linebacker. In the middle third, Derek Johnson. In the back, Eric Berry. Well, Berry's hurt. Johnson is so compromised that he was benched, basically, for a lot of yesterday's game by coaching choice and then played more in the second half. It was almost like they were trying to motivate him or something. I don't know. And Houston is clearly not healthy enough to be the Justin Houston that they need him to be.
Either that
or he's just gotten, because he's been injured so often, he's just an old man at in his late 20s.
Because that was a team ripe to be beaten on the outside of the offensive line.
One quarterback hit.
One.
And Eli Manning can't even move.
Yeah, a guy who's been bad and a guy who hadn't been playing were your tackles.
In the last five games, they've played two games in which the other team dropped back a total of 90 times, and they hit the quarterback once. 0 for 55 against Derek Carr and 1 for 35 against Eli Manning, both dead pocket passers. I mean, that's unbelievable. I thought they actually stirred the pot a little bit yesterday. I mean, they tried some more stuff, but it didn't work. I mean, they tried, which indicates that, okay, we were thinking, oh, Bob Sutton, you know, take the gloves off, be a little more aggressive, run some blitzes, do some stuff. They did. It didn't work. What's that say to you? They're not good enough. Wow. Very disappointing. And the thing that's most disappointing, we got six regular season games left before the playoffs, which the Chiefs are going to make. I think it's like.
Although I've had people say they're going 6-10, like they're not going to go 6-10.
No, they can't.
Out of six at home, they're going to win some of those games.
If they go 3-2, it's a disaster.
It'll be hard to go 3-2.
Oh, they're six, right? Yeah. If they've won 4-2, if they go 4-2, it's awful.
Yeah,
and that's still good enough.
3-3 might be good enough. 9-7 could easily win this division.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely win the division. 913-3810-810 is the phone number. They're all lined up. We're ready to roll. Chiefs, make it a disastrous Monday.
Like I said, we'll have to check it out on defense, but feeling out the game, I mean, teams are running cover two. Until we can beat cover two, both in the run game and pass game, we're going to struggle.
Right now, the Chiefs don't have any real identity offensively either. I mean, Kareem Hunt ran the ball four times in the first half at 5 yards per carry, but he ran it four times. Now, the Chiefs didn't have the ball very much, which is another thing that you were worried about going into the game. And the first half flew by, and before you knew it, the first quarter seemed like it was gone in the blink of an eye, and it was scoreless. And you're down at the half. Just bad. Bad from start to finish. I don't know. Like Curtis said, I think you put it aptly. You couldn't decide whether they were a team that thought they were so good that they could just kind of keep on chopping wood, and eventually the Giants would be so bad that you'd win the game on points, like a boxing match, or the team that pulled out ridiculous stops to try and trick the other team. Really strange. Really, really strange. Let's get to the phone lines and start it off with Nate. Nate, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. Good morning, Danny. Happy Thanksgiving to you, bro, and to you and yours and everybody there at the station. Wishing you all a safe and festive holiday.
That's very nice of you. Man. Thank you.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's so many angles that we can take with this team, and I'm like, pick your poison. Wow. This team done went from, for me, in my own opinion, this team went from poor to pathetic. And they are incapable of keeping losing teams losing. And when I knew we was in trouble, man, when we took us almost 10 minutes, and the only way we came up with is a field goal. And that was pathetic as well. And I knew we was also in trouble when we went to resort and to trick play calls against the Giants. Man, I tell you, not even the Giants has taken us seriously. Pinch me. But here's my take, Danny. And maybe I'm being premature, and I listen to your comments off the air. I say we blow the whole team up, including Andy Reid, or take even the play offensive play calling out of his hand. Get somebody like Josh McDaniels, because what we saw yesterday was very sickening. We're not efficient. We have no playmakers. And, man, I'm serious. I'm done, man. I listen to you off the air.
Thanks. All right, thanks a lot. You know, I think Andy Reid is a very clever play creator. I think his play calling sometimes does seem, yes, a little bit odd. But he's clearly a talented offensive mind. I think anybody who doesn't realize that isn't watch much football, I don't think. But sometimes he tries too hard. Sometimes he gets way, way too conservative. I do think yesterday, for a while, he was like the conservative Andy Reid. You know, they're going to go out and not take too many chances. It's windy out there today. Why would we throw the ball down the field? I've seen my quarterback one hop a couple throws already. And so they were going to keep it tight to the line of scrimmage. And so, as the caller pointed out, they had a play that took 50, it was like a 2012 to 2015 Chiefs drive. 15 plays to go 64 yards and kick a field goal. But I think he thought that was eventually going to be enough. And then it gets to the fourth quarter, and it's like, oh, boy, we got to do something special here. And they run the ridiculous play by Kelce. Bad call, bad execution. And football coaches have to know, and I'm just repeating myself here, you cannot trust your player to call off the dogs on these plays because they ain't going to do it. They get too excited. Here's my chance. We've been practicing this. It always works in practice. And also, ordinarily, there's somebody quarterback open. There was someone quarterback open on that throw by Kelce. But first of all, it's hellaciously windy. And he was throwing the ball 60 yards in the air. And it was, you know, after he had scrambled. But he's going to do it. He's going to throw it. And he's not a quarterback. He was.
Yeah, wearing gloves.
Right. Well, some quarterbacks wear gloves. But anyway. 913-3810-810 is the phone number. Austin has the next word. Austin, go right ahead.
Yeah, I just had a couple questions, I guess. I agreed with the first phone caller about the talent and everything. Kind of took the words out of my mouth. The other one was the weather that big of a factor, or was Alex Smith just missing those passes that terrible? I mean, 10 yards in front of her. Eli Manning wasn't having that problem. And I mean, I've been a Smith supporter since day one. I still am. I just, you know, was he that off, or was it that bad?
Well, the wind was clearly a factor. I mean, a National Football League kicker kicked a extra point that didn't reach the goalpost from 33 yards away. So you know, the wind was a factor. I mean, you know, we see kickers now put him in the net from 55 yards out, and this guy made the
ball
team.
Cream, so. Huh? I don't get. I mean, he's a great running back, and you know, the first five games, like we all talk about, he was unstoppable. Now he can't even get 100 yards.
Well, the problem in that regard is the fact that the Chiefs cannot run on first down right now. And so it what it does to me, it kind of spooks Andy Reid. You know, he tries it, and then in the second half they actually went to Kareem Hunt more, had a little bit of success, but you know, 3, 4, 5 times they got nothing, and then it's second and long, and so Reid is sitting there, and you put a, I know you tweeted out a stat yesterday about first down runs, and I think eventually that causes him to be very timid.
Yeah, I don't remember when this is. The time stamp is 2:13, so it was probably sometime around the end of the third quarter. They had run the ball 9 times on first and 10, and they were averaging 2.6 yards per carry.
Even in the beginning of the season, you know, he wasn't doing that great in the first half, and they kept pounding it, and eventually he would break free and go for a 50-yard touchdown, you know, a 60-yard touchdown, and they don't do that no more.
Well, I think they did try some of it. They did try some of it, you know, for fourth quarter, first down on the three and out or on the field goal drive to conclude the field goal drive. These are all in the fourth quarter. First down run, just got 2. They ran a draw on 3rd and 4 in the next series. That didn't work. They did run the ball on the first play of the series where Kelce ended up with his knucklehead interception,
and that
gained 12. But, you know, they did have some success. There's a lot of things to, but it's a mixed bag of, there's a lot of negative or near negative running plays in the last 5 games, and I'll let you go with Kareem Hunt, and I think it discourages Andy Reid, and maybe it shouldn't, and maybe he should just keep going after it. But a lot of times in the last 5 games as well, the Chiefs just don't have the ball very much.
No, they can't get first downs, and so you
can't sustain anything. They were bad on third down again yesterday, and they've been bad on third down during this streak. And so that doesn't allow you to open up the playbook quite as much.
No.
And then there's a certain sense of desperation, which leads to Andy Reid, who probably would have been better for him if, like, Hungry Pig Right didn't work last year, or one of those things that worked didn't work, and maybe made him realize that, you know, plays like that are silly, and that they're really silly when they don't work. But, you know, they just play football, especially against a bad football team. Up next is Chris. Go right ahead, Chris.
Hey, so I'm not going to make any kind of revelation or say anything that anybody else hasn't said, but you did just bring up a great point. I was starting to not buy into the different kind of plays that Andy Reid was calling and his offensive line. But you know what? You're right. He is creative in that respect. But with that being said, then maybe he's a great offensive coordinator and play designer and maybe play caller, but maybe he's just not a head coach. I mean, the guy's been a head coach for, 15, 16 years now. He's still not able to manage a game very well. He's not able to manage the clock very well. He can't get the plays in on time. So, you know, a lot of red flags there. And then I just think, you know, the franchise needs to take a new and younger direction. I mean, you have tired Andy Reid at the helm, and you have tired Don Sutton at the helm for the defense, and it just seems like some changes are definitely in order in that regard. Just need some real leadership there, and I'll listen offline.
Well, the Chiefs are they've become the bad combination of really what we saw in the 90s, unfortunately, eventually, that people got tired of. Now, they didn't get tired of it as fast because the Chiefs had been a very bad football team for a long time when Marty Schottenheimer came along. And they turned the NFL scene here in Kansas City into a sensation. You know, they never quite reached the heights that we would have wanted. But it's hard to criticize a coach and an organization that goes out and averages 11 wins a year. And do you want to go back and get the number one pick in the draft again? Well, maybe you do if it ended up being a great quarterback or something like that, but you can't guarantee that. You know, there's just another bit of bad fortune that, you know, the best player that year, deemed by many, was a left tackle. So we'll see. You know, yes, you get frustrated to the point where you say, boy, we need some change. But this team still is 6-4. They're still going to make the playoffs. They won a bunch of games the last few years. They took a franchise that won 2 games and immediately turned it into a winner. But
right off the bat.
Right off the bat, and they haven't stopped winning games since. But it's just, it creates frustration. It does. They're not quite good enough. And this year should be another one where you're really dancing around because, okay, it took the Steelers and the Patriots a while to find their form, but you beat the Patriots. The league, the conference stinks. So it is a year where maybe you could win 13 or 14 games, tie the Patriots or finish ahead of them, or if you tie them, you got the tiebreaker. But then again, the other frustration comes in the fact that they've had the home field advantage in playoff games and they haven't taken advantage of it. So
yeah, their only win since 1990
was on the road.
Since the wild card game against Pittsburgh was on the road. They've had two wins since then, and both of them have been on the road in Houston.
Yeah, that is true.
They have more playoff wins in Houston than they do in Kansas City. That is one of the more bizarre stats in the history of professional sports. Yeah.
Coop goes next. Hello, Coop.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
I had a couple points to make. You brought up something that I've been thinking about for a couple of weeks, about not having an identity on offense. It's like Andrew Reeves, he's like a kid in a toy store. You know, one minute he has two running backs, a fullback running back, two wide receivers, and he has three tight ends, and he has three wide receivers, and he has four wide receivers, no backs. This is all over the place, and no one can get in the rhythm if everybody's just every other play is another personnel group in there, and it's like this every week. I mean, how can you get a identity or anything going when you change personnel every other play throughout the game? And that has to create a problem somewhere down the line.
It's an interesting point that repetition would create excellence. I'll listen to that. They ran a lot of six-man offensive line yesterday. And, you know, we can talk about, you know, Kareem Hunt and his usage. I mean, he ran the ball 18 times yesterday. That's not, like, none. And he ran it at 4.1 per carry. It's not terrible. And 4.1 isn't terrible as well when your long run was 12. So it's just that it's been an odd combination in these five games with Hunt of a few good gains, and then a bunch of plays that are 0, 1, or 2 yards. And those hurt. Those hurt, especially when you're not converting on third down, which the Chiefs are not. 913-3810-810. Chiefs lost yesterday. It's Therapy Monday here on the program.
We expect to win. We expect to go out there and play well and win. I mean, that's our mindset. And when it doesn't happen, it's frustrating. I think you have to find a way, though, to stay together and to build off this.
Alex Smith, after yesterday's loss, frustrating to say the least. He didn't have much of a day. 61.5 quarterback rating, easily his worst of the year. Conditions certainly were not ripe for great throwing, but he didn't overcome them. I think you saw Eli Manning when he would do the play action. And then he was going to throw the ball any more than just a few yards downfield. You could really see him bear down to try and make mm-hmm. sure that he threw a spiral and to cut through the wind. And Alex didn't really just seem to have the knack to do that yesterday.
You know, it's when you lose a game like that, you really can't win the post-game press conference. But I'm if Chiefs fans out there are a little annoyed with the, well, you know, we got to do better in all phases, and that starts with me for Andy Reid, I can understand that. I mean, I think Sam Mellinger tweeted out before the game, they were even off the field, that he was going to say that, you know, 20 minutes from now. We got to do better in all areas, and that starts with me. And that's basically exactly what he said, repeatedly. I'm like, well, if it starts with, then get it fixed.
And also, when he tried to, you know, answer a question about Alex, but just say, hey, Alex wasn't as sharp as he usually is. There's nothing wrong with saying that.
No.
I mean, Alex knows it. He threw the ball halfway to a wide receiver twice, at least. I think three times. Not the third one wasn't halfway, but it was way off. And then the interception was 5 feet over someone's head. Hell, blame the wind.
Yeah.
But try to say, you know, well, the scheme, we all have a part in it. No, you don't all have a part in a guy throwing the ball 10 feet short of the wide receiver.
Right. Well, there's all things in receiver route depth and play calling and defensive setup and – and what was the other one that got me? Phillip Gaines. Well, you know, he did some good things. What?
Right. What good things did he do? anyway,
not fall down?
Let's go. Well, he did fall down.
Yeah, he did fall down. I'm saying, even that was. I mean, he always has to. He always has to give the compliment sandwich.
Right.
On any player.
Right. It's ridiculous. These are big boys. They can take it. Let's go real fast here and try to get everybody in if we can. Anthony, you've got the next word.
Hello.
Yep. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, how you doing? First, I got a couple of comments. First, I wanted to wish you guys a happy holidays.
Thank you.
And I'm just going to put it plain and simple. Our defense is just simply soft to me. We had several opportunities to get other cornerbacks in here. I would have, honestly, I understand the cap number situation is kind of difficult, but there's no way Phillip Gaines would be on my team at this point. He can, for some odd reason, he cannot stay on his feet. He's always slipping and falling on some kind of play. Same with Terrence Mitchell. They always slipping and falling, and then when they fall, they grab the guy, and guess what? You're going to get a PI every time.
Yeah, their ball awareness is pretty bad. And thanks for the call, Anthony. Good point there. I don't know why they went back to Phillip Gaines. It's been an absolute musical chairs outside of Marcus Peters back there. I mean, mm-hmm. they're throwing darts. I mean, Terrence Mitchell's to me clearly better than the other guys they've tried there. Now he's no peach,
no,
but he'll make a play every now and then.
Yeah, I don't understand.
And then they back up Kenneth Acker and you know say well you know we give him and then Gaines again, what? And then he's one-on-one on the two biggest plays of the game. Boy, oh, boy. They probably would have driven it down there anyway with that one more big play, but it was bad. It was bad, no doubt. Bob is next. Go right ahead, Bob.
Hey, I want to congratulate you on your monologue. It was long overdue in this town. I think the main reason it took so long for somebody like you to get it out there is because your ilk has been part and parcel of the fraud that's been perpetrated on this town for the last 20, 25 years. Everybody jumps on board. I mean, I guess when Peterson was here, everybody was kind of afraid because they figured they'd be taking their calls next week from Chillicothe, Missouri. I just think there's been an amalgamation of the press and the fans and everybody that's just giving this team a pass. They get going a little bit. Everybody's happy. And then, you know, they've really done nothing. They have done nothing in years. And the fact that the media in this town and the management in this town and ownership have done the proof that they've done such an outstanding job in perpetrating this fraud is they got a guy from New York buying into it and calling this a storied franchise.
Yeah, and that's why I said, and thanks a lot for the call and good points. And that's why I said, I think it's actually great for the Chiefs that's the narrative. It's undeserved, but we hear it every time. That's why they get so when if there's any shred of success, they get numerous national TV games. People love the atmosphere. They should love the atmosphere. It's a great atmosphere. It hasn't resulted in winning football.
No.
And the Chiefs haven't been any kind of terror on their home field. That's been a fraud too. But it's fun, and the fans deserve a lot of credit. But storied franchise. What a joke. Doug wants to talk about that, too. Hello, Doug.
Hey, how you doing, Danny?
I'm doing well.
Good. First of all, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
But no, I will argue the Chiefs are historic because, yes, Lamar Hunt founded the AFL. They played in the first Super Bowl, and they won the last Super Bowl before the merger. That is history. That is important. You know, important part of the league history.
But how long does it carry though? I mean,
well,
really.
I hear you. I'm 47. They've never played in a damn Super Bowl in my lifetime. I missed it by 7 months.
Right.
My point is, but you're absolutely right. They're not a traditional team because they haven't backed it up. You know, it's like way back in the late 40s through 60s. You know, I'm a K-State alum. K-State basketball had a run that equaled what Roy Williams did at KU, but they never backed it up with that kind of continued success.
Right.
Roy Williams leaves, Bill Self steps in, wins a national title. That's tradition when you back it up, and the Chiefs have never backed it up. Therefore, they're not a traditional team. They are historic, but they sure as heck are not traditional. I'd love to see it in my lifetime, though.
That's a very good way of putting it. That is, it is the Lamar Hunt Trophy. He was one of the founders of the league. That's part and parcel what the storied franchise is built on. Performance on the field, zero. Zero. It's hard to even come up with anybody else who's worse. Like I said, you trot the Browns out there. Titan, all the ones you'd bring up are ones that, probably the Oilers / Titans.
I think I found like there are 55 times that a team has won two home postseason games in a single year. The Broncos, Steelers, and I think the Patriots have each done it six times. Or 49ers have each done it six times.
Won two in a single year, and the Chiefs have done it in their history.
Two. Dose.
I know. The performance
just
is
a stunning number.
But I think he put it well. That's where it comes from. And I said, it's a good thing. It's your franchise is viewed in a far more positive way than they have ever earned by their performance on the field. Marty, you're up next.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I'll be quick and rapid fire my comments. Every week I call in, half joking, but kind of crying that we need to quit throwing to Ross Travis and Demetrius Harris. Yesterday we threw to Ross Travis twice on third down. I really want to pull my hair out. I'm sorry, what?
No, I didn't say anything. Go right ahead.
Oh, also, I called a couple shows in the summertime saying Alex Smith should not be on this roster. We should have cut him in March, saved that cap money, kept Nick Foles, and let him and Pat Mahomes duke it out for the quarterback. Smith had a couple of good games. He just can't get it. He's not good enough. No team's perfect, but we have a good quarterback that can overcome other positions of weakness. Like, even that good throw he threw to Tyreek Hill yesterday, Tyreek Hill had his man beat. He underthrew him. Tyreek Hill had to come back to the ball. That could have been a touchdown.
That's true. That one was into the wind, and he got it to him.
I'm not going to hear about the wind when you have a $60 million quarterback. This is the NFL. Like, and lastly, by Andy Reid, I'm really not a fan of his. This whole quarterback guru thing, we've had Alex Smith for now 5 years. I haven't seen any kind of quarterback. If he's a quarterback guru, that means he's gurued him from below average to average, which is dumb. Or he's not gurued him. We just have Alex Smith for 5 years. That's all. Does that make sense at all? And last,
right.
Yeah.
Well, it's certainly, these are valid points, Marty, and thanks a lot for the call. We're close to the top here. But, Alex Smith, it looked like maybe the fruit of all the time that he'd been here was being shown in the first five games, but it's backtracked. And it came to a head yesterday, and there's some explainable things yesterday, and everybody has a bad game and so on and so forth. But against a horrible defense that was down several players, you couldn't score a touchdown in a game where you had all the incentive in the world to be good. That you had just played your worst game of the year, you had the bye, him to stew over it. I was concerned that they were going to spend the entire bye week kicking back and having an extra beer because the Giants were on the other end. That's what it appears to me happened, because they sure as heck didn't bring it yesterday in any way, shape, or form. And they'll probably win this week, and then, we'll think that everything's cured, but they need about 41-3 this week.